Okay, it is 6 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday, July 25th, 2023. We'll call the meeting to order. Stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call, please.
Weigel.
Here.
Farga.
Here.
Middleton.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
Robano.
Present.
As noted, Tad is here virtually in front of me, so we will be taking voice votes tonight, just so you're aware of that. In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting, which was on June 27th. Were there any changes or corrections? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? Okay, we'll go to the vote. Jenny?
Approved.
Jennifer?
Abstain.
Dan?
Yes.
Walt?
Approved.
And Tad?
Approved.
Okay, so minutes are approved. Okay, next up we are going to recess the Common Council meeting and open up the floor for the public hearing on the food and beverage tax. As you'll remember, we've had multiple, lots of discussions on this for quite some time now. That is one of the tools in our toolbox now, thanks to the Indiana General Assembly. This past legislative session, they have allowed us to enact a food and beverage tax, which again would be specifically to the purpose of funding the future of Eagle Park. As I've said for a long time now, 20 years is the maximum that this can go. It can't just be, you know, continued, if you will, by the council. It actually would have to go all the way back to the legislature. At that point, it's 1 cent on the dollar, so that would be where if you went to McDonald's or Bob Evans or Pizza King or wherever, it'd be 1 cent on the dollar. So if you buy a $5 meal, it's 5 cents. If you buy a $50 meal, it's 50 cents. So, and all of those dollars would go specifically to the construction of and future of Eagle Park. Again, you guys, I know, have heard this spiel before, but just in case there's residents or others that are out there, we have had we've had lots of really great input from residents and from restaurateurs and others that want to see this because they want to see the future of Eagle Park. And personally, from a political perspective, if you will, the thing I like most about this is that it is a consumption tax, and so it's something where you can choose to buy or not. The thing I think most people need to understand or have an understanding of, if you will, is that if you go to Fort Wayne and eat, you are paying a food and beverage tax to Allen County. If you go to Indianapolis to eat, you are paying the Colts Stadium, as well as food and beverage tax for Indianapolis. If you go to Shipshawana, you are paying a food and beverage tax. And so this is something that is an opportunity, if you will, to utilize dollars, not necessarily all, and actually probably at least half, are coming from people that don't live in the city limits. Individuals that are stopping and eating as they're going through US 30, individuals from the county that utilize our park system, but they don't pay any taxes toward the park system. Individuals that are visiting to our park in order to utilize the facilities. All of that goes toward that focus point of how do we build for the future. And one of the components that we now have, because of the legislature, we have that ability to do that. As a reminder, you all have we've passed a resolution of support at this point, and I want to just say thanks to the legislators who were able to kind of make this happen for us and multiple other communities, by the way. So with that, I will open the floor for the public hearing. If you would have anything to say, please, your name, organization that you represent, or if you're a citizen, as well as your address, and then if you can keep your comments to 3 to 5 minutes, that would be helpful to keep our schedule moving along. So with that, I'll open the floor for any public comments.
I am Jennifer Esterline, the CEO of the Whitley County Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Center here in Columbia City. The power of food and beverage tax. Living in Columbia City with its progressive growth, low crime, and family-friendly environment, people have discovered a great place to visit and partake in our eateries and beverage establishments. Indiana cities with interstate or highways passing through should take advantage of the heavier traffic flow and our daily commuters. One example is the 1% food and beverage tax. This generated income is a voluntary tax for individuals that choose to eat out. The net effect will improve the quality of life, the quality of place, as well as business generated by the tourist destinations. What does the FAB mean to residents and visitors? By utilizing a food and beverage tax for revenue, it shifts significantly to visitors directly consuming the investments of the tax supporters. Food and beverage is in the top spending category in Whitley County. This tourist-based revenue would only further increase the investments in the building of Eagle Park. With most sought-after requests of wanting fine dining and entertainment options in Columbia City, this will only draw additional patrons and in turn will generate more tax revenue. For the vitality of our community, I am asking for support for the 1% food and beverage tax in Columbia City. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else that would like to comment?
Hi.
Hello.
I'm Nikki Keister, Director of Columbia City Connect, and I support the food and beverage tax. Additional funds from the food and beverage tax will help build quality places. An improved Eagle Park will give more people a reason to come to Columbia City and their residents and improved amenities to enjoy others.
Any other comments? Okay. Hearing none, we will conclude the public hearing. Thank you, everybody. So next up on our agenda is Ordinance 2023-12. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? I will go to the voice vote. Jenny?
Chris.
Jennifer?
Approved.
Dan?
Approved.
Walt?
Approved.
And Tad?
Yes.
Please read. Thank you. Please read Ordinance number 2023-12 by title only.
Ordinance 2023-12, an ordinance adopting the City of Columbia City, Whitley County, Indiana, adopting the City of Columbia City food and beverage tax.
So, Marcia, I know you put a lot of work and effort into writing this. I know the majority of this is based on statute, but I didn't know if you wanted to, by the past statute, by the legislature, I don't know if you wanted to hit on any high points or any...
Well, parts. One high point is okay. That what's in the agenda is not the revised version.
Okay.
So there were mainly dates inserted, and... section, can I see this? I'm trying to see if the portion got changed that we talked about, Mayor. Section 5.
Would have been, yeah, section 5 was the one that we had adjusted.
Yeah, I mean, this was sent to both of you on 7/11, so I don't know whether.
I can pull it up, I think, real quickly.
Yeah.
And I think it was just a minor change in section 5. It was
really,
and I'll tell you as I'm trying to frantically find that. I'll tell you kind of what the background of it is that. What I wanted to really make sure of is that future effectively future councils or others can't come in and change the usage of this funding, right? I mean, I think we have sold it and we have continued to push that this is solely for Eagle Park, not for, hey, our parks all of a sudden have a funding deficit, we're going to divert funds from this over to the park. And so I think that was really, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's the basis for what the change was.
Section 5.
Find it real quick. Here it is.
Was revised in what I had sent to you.
Yes.
And I just caught that this old one was still on the agenda.
Yep.
Are we
just
on both there?
So I will
print it real quick and get it to everybody. I can't do it from here.
The notice of publication.
Yeah.
The ordinance. Okay. So I know you sent it to me, Marcia. I hate to keep everyone waiting here.
Yeah, it was 7-11 is when I sent it to you.
Yeah, and I have the version. I just want to make sure.
It's section 5.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure. Let me. Yes, I believe that is. Yes. Okay. So I have the final version. Let me get that over to you guys really quickly. Again, the context of the actual overall ordinance is not necessarily there, or the context doesn't change. It's just section 5. So it should be now in your Dropbox. And specifically in section 5, as I mentioned to you, I put that. Further limitation to the purposes described of revenues may only be used for Eagle Park, may not be used for staffing, and may only be used for used when other funding sources are not available. Revenue derived from the imposition of the FAB may be treated by the city as additional revenue for the purposes of fixing the budget. So that, and that specifically comes out of the legislation. So were you all able to get to see that change? Okay. So really, outside of that, I think the only other thing had to do with the date, if I remember correctly, Marcia, because trying to make sure that the date. So effectively, we have 20 years by legislative directive that it would start January 1 of 24 and go through December 31st of 44, if that makes sense. So that would be the 20-year timeline. So and so just cleaning up those dates. Besides that, again, everything else in the ordinance, but you have the new ordinance there. Well, the adjusted ordinance, we'll say it that way. So, any questions about this? Anything? Again, the whole purpose of it is to basically put in our ordinances what the legislature passed, and then from there to further restrict, if you will, any additional usage of those dollars outside of Eagle Park.
Have we had any kind of pushback at all?
You know, as you know, we've had many restaurants that have signed a petition of support. I have ran into one restaurant that wasn't in favor. And the reasoning and rationale was that, I don't want to misrepresent by any means, but basically it was, well, people, you know, you're hurting the lower class of individuals. And as we kind of got into the discussion, I said, well, actually, it's based on how much you spend, right? So if you're going to go and buy a $100 meal, you're going to pay more than someone that buys a Happy Meal or a Value Meal, right? So it is proportional when it comes to that. But that was really just the main... That's really the only pushback I've gotten, necessarily. I think, as you are all well aware, the community is vastly supportive about Eagle Park and where we're going with that. And as you'll hear in Matt's report, we have actually officially taken ownership of the Community Foundation's building at right next to Eagle Park now, so we'll be transitioning that toward the park office here shortly. But anyways, so besides that, I mean, I've talked about it in almost every lunch with the mayor. I've talked about it on the radio. We've talked about it in here. I've done newspaper articles. I don't know how else to gather input besides what we've done. So, any other questions on the ordinance?
And I make a motion that we accept ordinance 2023-12 as presented with the updated version of Section 5.
Second.
Motion and second. Motion by Dan, seconded by Walt. Further discussion? Okay, we'll go to the vote. Jenny?
Approved.
Jennifer?
Approved.
Dan?
Approved.
Walt?
Approved.
Tad?
Approved.
Okay. So we will move that to second reading. Thank you for your support of that, Council. Next up on our agenda, gotta get there, is resolution number 2023-13. Now, before we go down that road, I want to make sure that the Council has a great understanding of what's happening on the 100 South project. We've mentioned it a couple of different times in meetings in the past, but I think it's important because we have a resolution and then an interlocal agreement that is going in front of you, that you have a good understanding of where we're at. So, Chip, I'm going to turn it over to you to explain kind of the reasoning and rationale behind the 100 South project, what's going on, and I could talk about the finance piece, but if you want to talk about the actual project itself.
So what we have... Right now, Sailrite and Triad Metals, all their sewer runs west. Well, that manhole is not big enough to accept all of that because it also takes in all of Eagle Glen. So we brought in an engineering firm, Westler Engineering, to engineer what was the best scenario. Their best scenario was to go down 100 south and tie into 300 west, I believe. And so that's what this interlocal agreement is between the county, RDC, and the city, east. Sorry. And I don't know. Is there anything else I'm missing?
So effectively, I mean, the key points to know are that in the interlocal agreement you'll see that the project is estimated to cost somewhere around $2 million, okay? And we paid for the engineering of that. That's probably my daughter getting home, sorry. We paid for the actual engineering of the project, and then when it comes to the construction, which includes the construction inspection, the actual construction, all those kind of costs, the County Redevelopment Commission is going to foot the bill for 100% of that cost, and then we will pay back 50% of that to the Redevelopment Commission over the next 20 years based on the revenue generated from that line. So the purpose behind us doing that is that it incentivizes the County Redevelopment Commission to fill that industrial park to get more sewer usage so that we can have more money to pay them back quicker. So ultimately, that's the whole purpose of it. We know that there is at least one individual who's ready to move into their new park. We know that there's been a property acquisition out there that could spell an additional user out there. But at the end of all of this, I think the positive piece is again, we have a great relationship with the County Redevelopment Commission. We're partnering together on that, and it's expanding our sewage that's not on the backs, not 100% on the backs of our sewer users. So as you will remember, with like SDI, there was some cost share that came with that. This is one of those other projects where it's beneficial to the County Redevelopment Commission, and it's beneficial to the city long term. Again, as we talked about that agreement initially, the discussion about the 20-year time frame, they seem to be they were good with that because I explained, hey, listen, we're going to need time to be able to acquire the funding from these individuals through their rates in order to pay you back $1 million. But I truly believe in 20 years, as we've seen the growth in other parts of that industrial park, I think 20 years we're going to be full. In fact, probably closer to 10 to 15 years we'll be full in that area.
If we paid it back sooner, is there...
No prepayment issue.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. In fact, I think everybody in the agreement would like to have it paid back sooner. But I also wanted to make sure that this council and future councils, as well as future mayors, have the ability to say, okay, listen, based on the revenue we're getting in, it's going to be a slow walk, right? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the purpose of it, yeah. Other questions from the council on that before? Okay, actually, we'll have time to talk about it as we go through these the resolutions. So can I have a motion to approve? I'm sorry, a motion to read resolution number 2023-13 by title only.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Jennifer, second by Jenny. Further discussion? Okay, we'll go to the voice vote. Jenny?
Approved.
Jennifer?
Approved.
Dan?
Approved.
Walt?
Approved.
Tad?
Approved.
We will, Rosie, please read resolution number 2023-13 by title only.
Resolution number 2023-13, a resolution authorizing the participation to an interlocal agreement by and between the City of Columbia City, Indiana, and the County of Whitley County Department of Redevelopment.
So if you were to ask me the reason why we have to have a resolution and then the interlocal agreement, I don't know that I can answer that. Maybe Marcia can.
It's statutory.
There you go. It's statutory.
And the resolution mirrors theirs.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That is a really good point, is that they have passed theirs. Now it's our turn, if you will. I think it's redundant, but that's okay. We'll do it as the statute says we should do it. So any questions regarding the actual resolution to participate in the interlocal agreement? Okay. Can I have a motion to approve resolution number 2023-13?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, right? Sorry, wasn't looking. Second by Dan. For the discussion? Okay, we'll go to the voice vote. Jenny?
Approved.
Jennifer?
Approved.
Dan?
Approved.
Walt?
Approved.
Tad?
Approved.
Okay, it is unanimous. Thank you. So next up is the actual interlocal agreement in and of itself. And that is page 15 of your packet. Again, it just puts all the terms that we've talked about and we've worked through this agreement a little bit with all lawyers. Marcia's looked at it. RDC lawyers looked at it. Their board. We've looked at it, et cetera. So now it's in front of you. Again, there's some provisions in there for what happens if this happens during construction, if it runs over or the cost is more, things like that. So those provisions have all been kind of taken care of. The project limits are also in there when it comes to 100 South and where that's going to be. So without getting too much further deep into the weeds, ultimately you know what it's about. Do you have any questions I can try to answer about the interlocal?
Just a question on the date. This is reading July the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something we should...
Well, I think we didn't have a quorum.
Right, that's why I was thinking.
Can we just strike it and make approve with the modification, you think?
Yeah, where is that?
It's on the very first paragraph.
First paragraph.
That's when they signed it. That's okay, when they signed it. Dates are empty. Where is that? I didn't.
The very first paragraph of the interlocal.
Obviously not the preparer.
The very first, yeah. There you go.
Well, it can be effective that date.
Oh, so it's retroactively effective?
Yeah. Okay. It's effective that date. Gotcha. It doesn't say that it was signed that day.
Gotcha. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions about the interlocal? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve the interlocal cooperation agreement between Whitley County Redevelopment Commission and the City of Columbia City?
So moved. Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Jenny. Any further discussion? We'll go to the voice vote. Jenny?
Approved.
Jennifer?
Approved.
Dan?
Approved.
Walt?
Approved.
Tad?
Approved.
It is unanimous. Thank you. Okay, next up is ordinance 2023-14. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved. Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion? For the voice vote, Jenny?
Approved.
Jennifer?
Approved.
Dan?
Approved.
Walt?
Approved.
Tad?
Approved.
It is unanimous. Please read ordinance number 2023-14 by title only.
Ordinance 2023-14, an ordinance amending Chapter 73, Bicycles, Unicycles, Three-Wheeled Cycles, and Golf Carts of Title 7 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
So, do you guys want to talk about this, since this is your baby?
Go ahead.
Yeah,
adding that the golf carts have to have mirrors. Our ordinance was missing that.
Either a rear view mirror
or side mirrors.
And/or. So, to provide for unobstructed views to the rear of the vehicle.
Seems like a great idea for the safety aspect of riding on a golf cart.
So Gary's not here tonight, but my question, I guess, Marcia, would be for those golf carts that have been approved on their current permit, then they would continue. They would be able to continue without those mirrors until their permit expired, and then once their new permit came in, they'd have to have those mirrors?
Right.
Okay. Okay. I don't own a golf cart, so I don't know how hard or easy that is to add those mirrors to the... It's easy. Okay. Other questions, thoughts, comments? Do you have... Jennifer, you look like you're bursting to say something.
I just think anything that we can do to make that slightly safer is a good idea. It's not super safe to ride on a golf cart anyway, but if you're going to, I think having a mirror to be able to see behind you to see what's happening without having to turn all the way around is probably a really good idea.
One thing I will ask, and maybe I thought it was illegal to drive them on state highways. So I'm seeing a lot of golf carts crossing on 205, crossing 30, going into Mauritius Park.
Yes.
Where do we stand on that? Because that's illegal,
yes.
But we're approving it as a state level, a city level.
That would be an enforcement issue.
Yeah, that would be an enforcement issue. I think, actually, we had a sidebar conversation before Board of Works today a little bit about that and trying to figure out, okay, so because we are currently bisected by U.S. 30, and the only ways to get across currently are 205, 9, 109 on the north side of US 30, and Lincoln Way.
And there's one more way, but you shouldn't do it.
That's right. There's one more way, which is the trail, which in our ordinance actually is against our ordinances. So I think it's a good conversation to have. I think it's something where... As I described earlier, I am hopeful that when US 30 grows up to be whatever it's going to be in the future, that kind of thought pattern is brought into the conversation. How do we get people from point A to point B? As you are also well aware, on both ends of Frontage Road, on both 109 and 9, those are probably the two most dangerous intersections in Columbia City. And so the idea of having vehicles or golf carts get into that area brings me a lot of pause and concern, fully recognizing that people are doing it already. So I don't know the answer to that. I would agree. It is in our ordinances, and we certainly can step up enforcement of that. I think you do get into a little bit of a challenge because that is the primary way in which people get on the north or south side of US 30, especially if they own a golf cart in, let's say, Eagle Glen, and how they get across 205, you know, or Irish Glen for that matter, right? So I think it's a valuable conversation to have. Please know I'm not trying to poo-poo you by any means. I think it's a really challenging subject because of US 30.
And I agree. I was just curious. And
yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, golf carts do not go fast, and we all know how many semis blow the lights all the time there. Like, they're a safety concern.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. No, I agree. Yeah, I definitely agree with what you're saying there. Just trying to figure out.
Thomas.
Thomas?
This was actually a topic of discussion in our department one day. There is a way, it's not a very convenient way, but there is a way that golf carts can get around without going down state roads. If they went down the Hancock Road to 200, and there's a lot, it would take quite a challenge to do it. I will say that that was at the top of discussion when the ordinance committee discussed this, and it is in our ordinance that they are to abide by the state laws. So our ordinance does say not to be on the state roads.
Yeah, I was trying to look up what the actual ordinance says. I was going to try to read the exact thing, but I'm sure I bypassed it at this point. But oh, there we go. 73.40, place of operation, no golf cart or UTV shall be operated on or at either of the following, any city street designated as a state highway, except to cross any state highway at intersections perpendicular to the state highway. So again, if you're crossing, if you're not going on to, but crossing over, that's one thing. And then also any sidewalk, bike trail, or public greenway not specifically designated for use by a motor vehicle. So I do think it's something we need to tackle in the future, because I am seeing more and more golf carts that are utilizing the state highways, State Road 9 and 205 especially, to go across. Fully being mindful that we have a population to the north of US 30 that have almost no other way to get across without going maybe clear down to Lincoln Way, and do we want golf carts going in front of Walmart and for that shopping app? So lots of things to consider on that. So any other thoughts from the council? Okay. So
the thing about it that's good is that we try to do these things for the best. We try to make the best decisions we can.
Sure.
What we can. And unfortunately, people are going to choose to break those laws. And if they do it in front of an officer, then...
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And I'm...
I've seen people riding on them inappropriately with kids where there's the ordinance says there shouldn't be kids.
Yep. And I think... And that's, you know, all... This is, again, going back to, we had a lot of good conversation before, but one of the things I said was I really think that our officers probably focus more on that side, making sure that young kids aren't driving the golf carts or playing on the golf carts as they're moving, making sure that people are not intoxicated while they're driving it, things like that, more than, hey, you went two blocks on State Road 9, or hey, you went across 205 to get to Eagle Glen or come off of Eagle Glen, or those kind of things. But not to say that there's a deviation in the actual ordinance, because there's not, but I think it's a good thought and a good conversation to be had for sure. So on the actual current ordinance here for 2023-14, what would you like to do? Do I have a motion to approve ordinance 2023-14?
So moved.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Dan. Further discussion. We'll go to the voice vote. Jenny?
Approved.
Jennifer?
Approved.
Dan?
Approved.
Walt?
Approved.
Tad?
Approved.
Okay. It is unanimous. We'll move that to second reading. Okay. So next up is your favorite topic, which is the driving card legislation, or driving card resolution. As you will remember, the last time that we met, the discussion was had, and it was the will of the council to add the final whereas on that resolution, which is that you would support, the Common Council would support driving card legislation if such legislation also includes requirements that driving card applicants apply for citizenship within 1 year of driving card application and show a good faith effort in such citizenship applications at the time of renewals of their driving card, and that there be no exceptions to the driving card holder maintaining proper motorist insurance as required by Indiana law. Or under Indiana. Does that incorporate what I think we talked about last time, which is within a year of them getting the driving card, we want them to get in line for citizenship?
It does state that.
Yes.
My issue is, though, talking about illegal immigrants. still giving them a privilege without being, I get to, you know, it's given the year, but we had some people here earlier in our last meeting. It's been, and they expressed that they've been here 30 years, some 20 years, some 10 years. Why haven't they applied for citizenship within that time? Some of them said it was too hard. Well, I get it. I talked to a gentleman, his wife came from Canada as an immigrant, and she went through the process, and I have to admit, there are some really ridiculous questions being asked and have to be fulfilled. I get that. But at the same time, I just feel that some of these people that are here enjoying the privilege of freedom, that they should have been applying for that earlier. I'm still struggling with this. I agree that the resolution that was written is very well written, but I'm still struggling with people having privileges that are not already established U.S. citizens. I'm still struggling with that. If they say it's too hard, I'm like, well, you know what? We've got a whole cemetery in Arlington full of people that committed themselves to the freedom of that we enjoy. And I'm like, you know, I get that might be hard. I'm not questioning their work ethic. I'm not questioning how hard it took them to get here. But doggone it, it's the United States, and I believe they should be at least working to be a citizen. That's why I still struggle with this. I appreciate the efforts that have been written here, but I just strongly feel that they should have been U.S. citizens before 30 years, or whatever the case may be.
Thank you. Other thoughts or comments from the council? I know we've had lots and lots and lots of conversations about this over the last couple of months, I think, at this point. So,
I completely understand where Dan's coming from. I do. I guess the way I look at it is a little bit differently. Like, these are people that are already driving, so they want to do somewhat of the right thing by getting their license and, well, their driver permit, so they're able to be able to drive and not get in trouble if they did get pulled over. Along with that, they would be funding part of the state to actually help repair the roads, help do everything like that by paying these additional fees. So, I mean, I understand where he's coming from completely, but on the other side, this is like one step going the right direction.
My question is, who gives the classes for their benefit? Who establishes the test? Who does the ISAT? Who pays for that? Nobody's really told me that.
Yeah. Well, I think as I remember in the presentation, it's ultimately the driver's ID was for the purpose of being able to get the insurance and therefore being able to get the license. So they would be able to go, they would, just like you and I effectively, would go and get go through the same process of getting the driver's license. The difference is having the actual ID card for insurance purposes, as I remember it. Because at the end of the day, the biggest issue that I heard was that you have a lot of people that are driving right now without insurance, and that's what's putting, you know,
getting
citizens
in
a tough place.
Without insurance,
you know.
Well, we have a lot of Americans doing the same thing.
Well, I don't disagree with that.
I
would agree with that.
Do that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, and I know people that will go ahead and, you know, file for their insurance, and then a week or two later, as soon as they got it, they'll cancel it. But it looks good to get their license.
Mm.
And I have to admit, I was over at the Goodwill over in Warsaw,
mm-hmm.
and it was about 10 people deep waiting to get in line. And there's a young lady, Mexican lady,
mm-hmm.
she pulls up, hey, she was showing off her driver's license.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, yeah, a girl.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to give her a high five,
yeah.
But I thought that looked a little weird. But at the same
sure.
time, you know, she was proud because she got it.
Yeah.
And she did the right thing to get there. And that's all, you know, I don't deny that.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool. But at the same time, we still have illegal immigrants
sure.
written into this thing. And then, is this just basically a resolution of suggestion to take to state? And will the state actually implement the same things that we're asking for?
Yeah.
That's my next question.
Yeah, so I can answer that. So ultimately, this is a resolution of support with the caveat there in that very last whereas that basically says that we would be a supporter of this if the one-year citizenship thing is a part of it. So my guess is, knowing how legislative process works, it's going to be a scenario where we would go to that, where they would take the resolutions from the different communities that have supported it, they take their legislation, they get their sponsor, if you will, and that when it's time to testify on that bill, that they're going to present these kind of resolutions to the legislators. Now, again, if the legislator is doing their homework, they're going to read in that last whereas to say, well, if the legislation doesn't include that part about becoming a citizen or getting in line for citizenship within a year, then our resolution doesn't stand anymore, right? And I would assume, based on Ed, who came and presented here, I would believe that he would know that this is what we believe, and I'll even reinforce with him if you'd like to say, listen, if it doesn't follow this criteria, we don't want our resolution to be included in the group of resolutions of support because of that last whereas. So, I mean, I can certainly reinforce that. Now, you know, when it comes to the legislature, they're going to do what they want to do, right? And
well, my ability to discuss that.
Sure.
For a week.
Sure, I get that. Hey, I understand that, Dan. I understand where you're coming from. So, sure. Other thoughts, comments, questions?
I guess I would just say on the matter, like, I understand where you're coming from. I understand where you're coming from. It's all around a complicated situation. I lean to some extent on the input of our police and fire that this would be a step that would make things safer and better for our citizens. I think that's reasonable. Also, as the child and grandchild of immigrants, I know that the process was problematic. Can't imagine it's gotten a lot better. So I can kind of understand that, too, that it's not an easy process and it's a very difficult process. I think it's helpful that we are encouraging people to, okay, we're trying to make this a little safer,
yeah,
and we're trying to provide a path to get everybody on track in the right way. So it's not an easy answer.
Yep. Anything else? Okay, then do I have a motion to approve resolution number 2023-11?
So moved.
What?
We haven't read it.
Oh, we haven't read it yet?
No, you just generalized it.
I apologize. Do I have a motion to read resolution number 2023-11 by title only?
So moved.
Okay, second. Motion by Jennifer, second by Jenny. I apologize. I've lost myself. All those in, I'm sorry, I'll have to go to a voice vote. Jenny?
Approved.
Jennifer?
Approved.
Dan?
Approved.
Okay. Walt?
Approved.
Tad?
Approved.
Okay. So please read resolution number 2023-11 by title only.
Resolution 2023-11, resolution of the Common Council of the City of Columbia City to support legislation and establish Indiana driving cards.
Okay, so after all that conversation, do I have a motion to approve resolution number 2023-11?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, second by Jennifer. Further discussion. Okay, we'll go to the voice vote. Jenny?
Approved.
Jennifer?
Approved.
Dan?
Disapproved.
Walt?
Approved.
Tad?
Approved.
Okay, it passes 4-1. Thank you for that conversation. I think it's been a very robust one over multiple meetings at this point. Okay, next up is ordinance number 2000, the agenda says 2203, but I think it's 2023-15?
Yes.
Okay, 2023-15, do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion. All those in favor show by the usual, I'm sorry, voice vote. Jenny.
Approved.
Jennifer.
Approved.
Dan.
Approved.
Walt.
Approved.
Tad.
Approved.
Thank you. Please read ordinance number 2023-15 by title only.
Ordinance 2023-15, an ordinance amending Chapter 97, Streets and Sidewalks of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
Rosie, you want to lead us off on this conversation?
Okay, so in doing some research and talking with Chip and Kelly, the way the process works right now on if somebody wants to, like Mediacom, anybody, NIPSCO wants to cut into a alley or street, there's the process, all these come to Board of Works. So I had done some research. I got the counties and some other of the different surrounding communities and worked with Chip and Kelly and came up with a fee for these permits and also limiting them from all having to come to Board of Works that if you read these, the permit, part of them Chip okays and the other part Kelly okays. And if they're actually cutting in the street, I believe it is, a hard surface, then it has to come to Board of Works. But it's going to eliminate this process so it's not so cumbersome. And so along with that is this ordinance that will establish a rate, which Marcia left how much blank so that the Board of Works can change it at some time if we want. And so I don't know if you guys want to say anything else about it.
Just some of these, like the barrier permits and things, are just eating up a lot of time and space on Board of Works. But maybe it'd be a way to streamline that a little better and let Rosie start checking in with some fees.
So I think it's a dual, there's a dual issue here, right? The first is the process. So is it worthwhile for the Board of Works to take every time they're going to be cutting into the right-of-way that's grass and sod? Does it make sense for all those to come in front of us when we can get them, when we can handle it internally, right? And secondly, is Rosie looked at a lot of other communities and what they were doing when it came to permitting, and they were shocked that we weren't charging a fee because of all the manpower and stuff it takes to keep an eye on those projects and to check in and process the paperwork and all the stuff that we do with those things. And so we actually, I think when we kind of came up with the 40 and 100, the 40 for basically non-hard infrastructure and 100 for hard infrastructure permitting fees, there are other communities that are significantly higher than that, which is a little shocking to me. I don't remember what the county is, but I feel like they're, yeah, the county's more than us too. So just so you're aware, but I think the other thing to keep in mind is when we're talking about hard infrastructure is that it's going to cost a heck of a lot more than $100 to repair a street or a curb or a sidewalk that is damaged, but they don't fix it correctly. And
this
so
is the thing I wanted to ask you,
yeah,
is there a step in the process for making sure it's satisfactory?
Yes, it's in our ordinance, but they have to put it back to the way it was.
So who inspects that?
So, well, that would be our superintendent or their designee, if you will. So, again, if they're digging in the grass, you know, Chip's going to go take a look at it, make sure they seeded and strawed it and done everything it needs to be. If they've dug up the street or the curb or the sidewalk, it's going to be Kelly or his guy that's going to go out and take care of that. So, it's both a checking in on the project to make sure of the process and that it's being taken care of correctly, but also also making sure that we have all of the detailed information for each of the people that are cutting into it. And again, we talk about this in Board of Works, but the other thing to keep in mind is the vast majority of these cuts and stuff are not coming from residents. They're coming from contractors, whether that's, you know, Mediacom, or whether it's CenturyLink or Surf or NIPSCO or these other companies that are coming through and digging up our infrastructure. And Kelly, you talked about at Board of Works that there's been an issue on one of the projects that we're going to have to follow up on.
There was a contractor last year that was replacing a sewer line for a resident, and that was in October or something.
Yeah.
And that still isn't done. Rosie's reaching out to the company to talk to them about that. But at some point, we just may have to contract it out, get it done, and send them the bill.
Yeah.
They didn't put the sidewalk back yet and the curb. And then the patch going out into the streets low, and it wasn't done.
Is it possible with something like that, too, that we would be able to, I guess, restrict future permit requests if they're not doing it correctly?
I guess if they were in default, if you will, of fixing our infrastructure based on our ordinance, then we certainly could negate their permit until they fix it and pay up effectively to get that fixed. So I think there's definitely a process that can be had there, yeah.
Another question I have is, do we have any sense of the revenue that would be generated by this permit?
No,
but as Board of Works can vouch, we've had tremendous, especially with all the CERF and MediaCom and NIFSCO, all these new houses. It's just been unreal.
And then which part of our budget is any proceeds?
We're going to your department.
If I were Chip, I'd say I need a little bit of that money.
My department.
So. And the Board of Works actually approved the permit to send on to you guys tonight.
Yep. Other questions you have about the permitting process or the ordinance in and of itself? Okay, hearing none. We have read this ordinance, right?
Yeah.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. Okay, do I have a motion to approve ordinance 2023-15 on first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Walt, seconded by Jennifer. Further discussion? We'll go to the voice vote. Jenny?
Approved.
Jennifer?
Approved.
Dan?
Approved.
Walt?
Approved.
Tad?
Approved.
Thank you all. So we will move that to second reading at the next meeting. I believe our final agenda item, is that true? Yes, our final agenda item is an ARP appropriation transfer. So when, as you will remember, the American Rescue Plan was approved by Congress, and they sent communities, cities, towns, counties across the country.
Crowder, all aye. Resolution 2023-13, 100 South Project, Chippixley, Sailright, and Sewer on 100 West Agreement with County, we pay for engineering. Construction County read 100%, and we pay back 50% over 20 years, based on revenues. Yeah. Title only, Jennifer / Jenny All.
How about that? I turned your volume all the way down, so. Anyways, okay, so, American Rescue Plan. So they sent us, obviously, money to recover from the pandemic. You appropriated those dollars in the appropriate fashion, right? Some of those had to be used for infrastructure. Some of those had to be used for other purposes as we saw fit. So at that time, we appropriated $203,211 toward lead line replacements for a water department. So in talking to Mike, we have... What'd you say? So I know we're doing our assessment right now.
Our assessment has to be done, I believe, October of 2024.
Yep.
Then in the year 2025, we're supposed to come up with our plan on how we're going to get rid of our lead out of our system. But I think you said the money had to be used
by the end of 2026. So... Go ahead.
So what we want to do is move that money and use it right now to rebuild our filters, which we have to do anyhow. They checked the media. It needs to be replaced. The state IDEM says we have to replace it next year anyhow. So what we're saying is let's just use that money right now, rebuild the filters, and get them in service, and then take the money we was going to use for the filters and
utilize it for lead line. So we're basically swapping today money for tomorrow money and tomorrow money for today money. That's all we're really doing. We're addressing a need that needs to happen now versus trying to save up money or set aside this money and hope, yes, that's all we're doing is swapping. So, but again, you as the fiscal body approved the American Rescue Plan dollars, and so we wanted to come and ask for that transfer from lead line replacement over to the filter, water plant filter project.
And these are both things we needed to do?
Yes. Lead line, we honestly, we still aren't 100% sure of how much we're going to have to do or not, because the assessment is still being done. Again, we anticipate that will be completed sometime next year, that the actual assessment will be done. And then 25, we come up with our plan to address the lead lines. Again, I want to reiterate to our public is that this is a statewide thing, not just a Columbia City thing. And most importantly is that our... Because of our water, it is not corrosive water versus other places that eat away at pipes and things like that. So
every one of our lead tests have come back. We're in, you know, no problem.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we did have. If you remember, we had one test that came back bad. And it ended up, it was a faulty sampling situation where it was a house that had sit vacant for like a year or something like that. So besides that.
And this is one of those things you don't really know what's there until you get into it, correct?
The lead line piece, exactly. That's exactly right.
So we're kind of cycling it over a 2-year period.
Well, yeah, effectively what we're trying to do with this movement is to move the lead line money over to the water plant filter replacement, but then over time, we would be fixing the lead lines that are coming up. Mm-hmm. So, and again, there's some ways in which we have to figure that out because even, and not to get too deep, but even IDEM is starting to say, well, we may have to go onto private property to fix all the way up to the house, which is something we've always gone just to the meter. So there's a whole lot of legal things that are still being decided and figured out at the state. So,
but the lead replacement, we're talking, it's not going to be, you got to have them done in a year. It's going to be like over a period of time.
Yeah, it'll be over a period of time. We don't know what that period is.
We'll have to do a percentage, so. You know.
And roughly the filters project would be about the same amount?
We don't know. Well, you know how much the filter replacement project is going to be. You'd send it to me.
Are
you
I don't have it with me.
I feel like, what's it, 280? I feel like it's like 280. So this will pay for the vast majority of it. But I don't know what the lead line's going to be.
Right.
Like, we threw a number in there with like, hey, maybe this will be it. We don't know. And so.
And there's probably, they keep saying that there's going to be federal money to help with that. Now, how much we get, who knows if we get anything.
Yeah. So, anything else? Can I have a motion to approve the transfer in the ARP fund from lead line replacement to water plant filters?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion? Go to the voice vote. Jenny?
Approved.
Jennifer?
Approved.
Dan?
Approved.
Walt?
Approved.
Tad?
Approved.
Okay, it is unanimous. Thank you for that. We will get going on that water filter replacement.
Yeah, because we have to get... We got to get permission from IDEM. We're going to change one of the media because it's supposed to be better. I'll take magnesium out.
Oh, gotcha. So. Change the media. Okay. Okay. With that, I think we can go to department reports. So, of course, you know Eden, who has been my intern for the last month and a half, 2 months? Month and a half, something? I don't know. Anyway, so this is her last week with me. So Ashley will be very lonely. When my assistant Ashley will be very lonely, but Eden's done a great job. She's worked a lot on the Summer in the City project. This Friday we host the Mayor's Roundtable. She's helped out a lot with that. She has scanned about every file in my office, which is an incredible feat because I'm a hoarder, and has done just a really great job of, I think, learning the ropes and filling the meetings and all that kind of great stuff. So thank you, Eden. Do you have anything you want to say to the council?
No, okay.
Chip.
Lori Shipman and I finished and wrapped up the Community Crossing Grant last Friday for Westgate, and we are having a pre-bid meeting for the 100 South. That felt like that was like an hour ago that we discussed that. So things are moving along quickly. Nothing else.
Questions of Chip? Thank you. Sean?
We were advised by AEP September 21st on or about is the last day for our 34 5 kV line that we've been talking about for several years about replacing. They will be eliminating that, upgrading it to a 69,000 volt line, which will require us to start our conversion process as well. So that's going to be over the next probably 3 to 4 months as we start working through converting that over to 69 kV. It's going to be a good project for us. It's a little bit of a headache until then. Bowen Center, we've got our infrastructure, our conduits in. We're getting ready to pull wire, set a transformer in about 2 weeks. We're going to set the transformer there and hopefully get them up and going. They're having issues getting some of the material on their side, on the electrical side. As I said in the last meeting, they did announce today that the Congress passed a $1.2 billion funding package for just the shortfall material for the electrical industry, and the Department of Energy has also came off some of their new higher standards for efficiency for transformers, which will help expedite the lead times on those, hopefully. They're currently, if I order a three-phase transformer, what used to take 4 to 6 weeks is taking almost 2 years to get it in. So if we have a failure, we better have a backup. Yep. So hopefully that helps. We did have an incident at Mary Raber on Monday the 17th. A FedEx truck pulled our lines down. We had 1,200 people out of power originally. We were able to get nearly 1,000 and back on within a half an hour by rerouting and things like that. My guys did a great job getting all those poles replaced, lines back up. Everybody was back on by 5 o'clock that night. And this was happening right at lunchtime at noon. So great shout out to my guys for doing great work there. I got a great staff. And unfortunately, we did lose a lineman. Eli Stanglin, who was scheduled to top out and be a journeyman lineman next week, actually won the Indiana Municipal Electric Apprentice of the Year 2 years ago. Very, very good person and good employee. He left to go to AEP. So within a year or two, he'll be making more than I make. So I mean, it's you know, it's hard to question a guy when he thinks he's doing what's best for his family. So. Other than that, the board gave me permission to go out and replace Eli, so I'll be working on that.
Question of Sean. Thank you. Mike.
CSO 19 project is completed. The seed installed, waiting on a pay application and a change order. There's only one change order for the project, and that was for inspection services for the concrete. If you remember, that had them tear out and redo. That's going to be a deduction off the project. The contractor will pay for that. CSO number 5, which is on South Washington Street in Ellsworth. My staff was in there. They found there's wear boards in the divergent structure there. They pulled those out and put composite boards in, so we don't have to worry about rotter decay on that anymore. And they built in-house a sampler base for our new sampler on that project. So it's bolted down to that stand, and so they'll be able to unbolt that, lift it up, and haul it inside of the building during the winter. So it's day to day.
Question to Mike. Thank you. Mike.
The permit for our 205 project where we're taking the 12-inch line from the entrance of Eagle Glen down to Hancock Road or 200 North. Went through today, so we've got that. I talked to Wygents and told them that they at least give me a week or two before they are going to start so we can get the locates done. And then that's it.
Okay.
Oh, you know, Alzheimer's here. We're working up on Columbia Shores, putting a catch basin in to try to see if how much of the sand and that they're getting into the pond is, or the lake, old lake there, if it's coming from the road or where it's coming from. So we started that project today, hopefully to have it done to the end of the week or maybe the first of next.
Questions? Thank you. Matt.
We've gotten all the fields ready for soccer and football to go. Actually, they just passed out football equipment Saturday. soccer shots from Fort Wayne. They use whatever grass area they can over at Eagle Park. They teach the younger kids 4 to 6, starting teach them how to play soccer. The concession stand trailer was broken into on 714, and about $400 of candy was taken, and the glass to be replaced on the end of the concession stand trailer will cost about $350. We have received the keys to our new office where the old community foundation sat up on top of the hill there. We're going to get with Terry next week, and we hope to move in by November up there. And the guys put in a split rail fence at the corner of Vine and Walnut to help keep people from entering neighboring properties, and the water department helped us out with that with some of their machinery.
Questions of Matt?
Things that were stolen, did they catch the people that did it?
They are on the trail right now. They have a good idea.
Okay, yes. And then make them pay for the cost of repairing everything. I'd like to hope.
That's the goal, yes. Yes. So, yes, I think our police department, in fact, I know that they know who it is, and I know that I just actually got an update today that they've confronted those individuals. So, yep. Children.
Okay. Yeah, heard that
through the grapevine. Yeah. Questions of Matt? Thank you. Tom?
I may have recently acquired a lot of candy. I'm kidding. Jacob Johnson started on the 15th and is doing great. Troy Nethel Camp starts this Saturday. We're really anxious to get him up and going as well. If he's anything like Jacob been doing, he's catching on really fast. 4-H fair went without incident this year. That's awesome. Just been pretty busy, and guys are doing a lot of training and having some new blood involved. Also makes them go out and review a lot of our stuff that we don't necessarily do on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of good news too. So thanks everyone.
Questions of Tom? Thank you, Kelly.
Concrete crew has been busy doing some projects. One of them is a 50-50 sidewalk they just completed out in Eagle Glen. They did a good job on that. We had a pre-construction meeting for our community crossings project. That's Niblox has that project, and we met with them and the engineering firm. They're going to start somewhere around August 14th on that project. Drew's barricade started striping streets in our community, and BAM seal and striping will be doing the downtown parking areas, crosswalks soon. And Quessy Sewer, I had an update from one of the JPR representatives saying that Quessy Sewer Horse Main is going to be installed here this fall, starting that project out in that.
Questions of Kelly? Thank you. Marcia?
Nothing.
Rosie?
Nothing.
Just for your information, a couple of things, obviously, we continue to work on. I told you this Friday I host the Northern Indiana Mayor's Roundtable. We had our Solid Waste Board earlier this week. Let's see. Oh, Thursday, if you have not heard, this Thursday at 2 p.m., Move Over in downtown Columbia City is being featured on, I think it's America's Best Restaurants, which is kind of a really cool thing. As you may know about Move Over, is they attract people from literally all across the Midwest that drive to Columbia City or get things shipped from Columbia City out there. So that's a really cool thing. Next week, let's see. I was supposed to mention this Saturday is the Film and Float, which is a part of Summer in the City. So you need to go onto the Aquatic Center website. I think there's a link to purchase tickets there. I think it's $5 a person, but you can float in the aquatic center and watch Jaws, which is pretty awesome. So again, appreciate Ashley for organizing and setting up that whole program. So, besides that, I think that's probably all I have to say at the moment. So,
Walt, the regional sewer district for Whitley County has been an ongoing task, and it looks like that we made it through the legal system and the court system to continue. So I'm just letting you know if you see, you know, Tunker, Stable Acres, Blod, you'll see that you may see some construction in the right of ways going on. So it has been a long wait for many of us just to get the gears in motion.
Well, thanks a lot. I've been getting phone calls of trying to establish property lines and trying to help people understand right of ways and easements. So thanks a lot.
Any time.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Thank you, Dan.
Just a couple of questions. You know, this new company that put in fiber optic?
Which one? Surf or Brightseed?
I think it's the latter.
Okay.
Because now they got these boxes setting up. And that's just an article, Zach. The thing's only about a foot off the curb. And I'm like, man, we get a 4 or 5 inch snow. I don't think they're going to survive that.
Okay.
They're really close to the curb.
Yeah.
And I'm like, at least they're buried there.
So yeah.
You know, this company puts these boxes
up. It looks like filing cabinets.
Yeah, and I'm like, they're so close. I'm like, who's going to pay when we plow snow? And they hit that with, they go 15, 20 mile an hour, and it hits 4 or 5 inches of snow off the road. It's going to wipe the boxes out.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious who ends up paying for that, or if they understand we have snow here.
Great question for our city attorney to take a look at.
We can't wait, Dan.
Sounds like Kelly's gearing up for target practice. No, I do think, though, I know that that's probably a weird spot because it's in our right-of-way, right, which is where we plow snow, but at the same time it's their infrastructure, so Marcia can maybe look into
it. It may be something you would just want to talk to him about it now.
Just
address it. Might as well talk about it.
Mailbox. I'm like, those are right there.
Sure.
They're gonna get whacked.
Yeah, especially on a wet snow.
And then there's several around town in that condition.
Yeah.
Too close to the curb.
Yeah. Okay.
Just curious.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can definitely contact one of us can contact Brightspeed to try to figure that out if they're Brightspeed cabinets, which I'm assuming they are. So. Okay. Brightspeed used to be Central. Yeah. Jennifer.
I have several things.
Okay.
First of all, Third Thursdays, which is a collaboration between the Arts Commission and Columbia City Connect, has wrapped up. We had our last official one. We're going to be evaluating those next week and kind of deciding what to do next year. The Arts Commission really sort of oversaw the Art in the Alley aspect of it. Last week we had our event. Due to the weather, we had to move it indoors. The really great thing about it from an economic development standpoint is that a lot of local artists who haven't had a chance to show their work or put their work out for sale had an opportunity to do that probably for the first time.
Nice.
At that event. We had a lot of people through there. I heard a lot of really great comments, including just the fact that a lot of these artists now are feeling like a community is forming, where they can talk to each other and work together. And after the event the other night, there's some collaborations in the works between different artists in our community. So that is a really good outcome from that. So we will be talking about what to do going forward. There was some interest in doing something through the winter as well, if not as a third Thursday event, maybe in some other way continuing that. Also, we had Summer in the City, which was a collaboration between the city and the Arts Commission on Saturday. And with that, we had live music, dancing, art demonstrations. It was really a great opportunity for people in the community to come and try and see some different things. And overall, that adds to the fabric of our community and making it somewhere that you want to go and visit and hopefully live. So that is why we care so much about that sort of thing. The other thing related to the Arts Commission, the second mural has begun. It's at the corner of Chauncey and Van Buren Street. I'm not great always with direction, but I think it's the northeast corner.
That is correct.
Yes, and it's, I don't know if this has been like stated publicly at this point, but it is a image of Thomas Marshall made out of vegetables.
Okay. I will reserve judgment. Okay.
Creative thing.
Okay.
And again, this is bringing together multiple different artists to put this on. It's been kind of sketched out at this point, and different people are invited to come and participate.
Yeah.
The person who is overseeing that, again, is Doug Egoff.
Yeah.
He oversaw the project a little bit further down the street, and he's already thinking and collaborating with some artists on the third one. So
Good. Lots
of fun stuff in the works there.
Hey, can I, if I have any say in it, I'd love for a pickle to be the mustache of Thomas Marshall in front of Pickles Cafe.
I will
just
pull
record,
up the sketch,
so.
But I believe that is...
I don't have a say in it, but that would be a really cool collaboration.
So part of the thought process was to acknowledge Pickles being on that
corner,
sure. And also the farmer's market being nearby.
Yes,
so
that's awesome.
Fruits, vegetables, Thomas Marshall, all these things together.
Very cool.
Creative interpretation.
Nice.
The other thing that I would like to bring up is July 25th seems like an ideal time to get people thinking about Christmas.
Okay. Okay.
So the annual municipal Christmas lighting competition will be coming up, and might want to start thinking about that now so that there's no lighting shortages.
Yes.
Or anything like that. Maybe start making your plan for what you want to do. Take advantage of warmer weather to install it. I don't know that we'd mind awful much if people plugged it in and hit their display.
I agree.
So better to think about it now than the day after Thanksgiving, which is when we like people to start having those put up. So that's that. And then the last thing I just want to say, I am really excited to hear about both of the new hires to the fire department. I got to help in the interview process early on this time, and they were both really outstanding and qualified, and it was a really difficult decision when we thought we were only going to be able to pick one. So finding out that we got to have both of them is fantastic and really good for Columbia City.
Anytime we can steal two good people from a surrounding community that already have ties to this community is a fantastic win for everybody.
Right, and
except
that one
for the other community.
That want to be a part of this community and involved here beyond just their job, like
indeed.
That is what we want. So.
Absolutely. Thank you. Jenny?
I have nothing.
Tad, do you have anything?
Nothing.
Okay, Tad has nothing. We have no media, so anybody from the public that would like to comment, now's the time you can come up and do that. Name and address, please.
Melanie Love, 113 North Street. This week I spent some time at the 4-H Fair eating chicken. And I found overwhelming support, which isn't surprising because it's a 4-H Fair. But many people were actually shocked and surprised that in this day and age and in such a rural location that we don't already allow backyard chickens. Some people even asked why you guys wanted to take chickens away from us, which I explained that we can't have them currently. And so because they assumed that we've been allowed to have them all along because a lot of people are saying it's all good in the town to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
But they expressed sympathy saying, so the fact that we allow golf carts and vehicles in our community despite the admitted safety issues in order to allow citizens to make their own decisions in the name of freedom, but we don't allow chickens, which bring the ability to easily provide your own food, is baffling. As with most things, there will always be a few frustrating people who ruin good things for the rest of us. We're just doing the right thing, following the rules, and just wanting to be free. But that's not the way that it should be. Please punish the people who do the wrong thing. The people that can't behave themselves with golf carts, the people that can't behave themselves with chickens, that's fine. Punish those people. But for the rest of us who are doing the right thing and just want to have backyard chickens and eggs, let us, get to have that. So please don't punish the whole community or a few people.
Thank you, Melanie. Anybody else like to comment? Hello.
Hi.
Name and address, please.
Norma Rodriguez, 11746 Lawndale, Plymouth, Indiana. I am here representing Bubble Salina. Thank you for supporting this. I understand all the concerns that may have come up. Immigration process is a lengthy process. A lot of the individuals that arrive here have been here through a visa, have been here through, you know, whatever means. It does take a longer process. Sometimes it does expire before they're able to renew. You know, the last time I was not here last month, but we spoke of DACA, we spoke of the visas, we spoke of other topics. Hopefully, you know, the government will support and do something for the DACA students. We have thousands of these individuals. They came as young kids. Now they're adults. A lot of them are professionals. A lot of them are professors, doctors, you name it. They're able to get into this kind of profession, but they're still limited as to what benefits they get from the government. So hopefully there's a process here for them. We are also speaking with the legislators as far as the concern of maybe dropping an individual dropping their insurance. That's going to be added in there. We don't approve. We don't, it's actually DMV that's going to be approving all of this process. They're the ones that are going to examine all those documents. We don't do it. The city doesn't do it. It's DMV department that does that. We will be going back to legislation, and we're going to add in a few of those. You're not the only one that has brought up the topic of citizenship. Other legislators are also going to include something in them regarding that. This is a benefit to the cities because it's bringing revenue in to the cities. It does not cost anything, not a dime, to the cities. You're actually bringing in monies when you do this. So I also brought information on pathways to immigrants. I will leave them with the mayor.
Sure. I'll get them passed out. Thank you. Yeah.
All right.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Anybody else like to comment? Name and address, please.
Paul Stubble, 1277 Pebble Creek Run. Just with the golf cart situation, first of all, 2.5 years here in Columbia City. I came from a big city, and I love it here.
Good.
Don't want to move anywhere else. I came from Vegas before that, California. This is awesome.
Thank you.
Love driving around in a golf cart. But like you said, crossing the 30 is dangerous. Mm-hmm. It's not safe. I don't want to have to drive all the way to Lincoln Way. I don't want to go come off of Arby's and run across, you know, go across. I'd like to get involved with somebody somehow to get a safe way to get across. If it's opening up a little bit of a pathway from Mochi's Park, if I just say it right, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
To over by Kroger's, if we could even get that opened up to allow it. But I don't know who to talk to about it, but I would love to be involved with it. I know a lot of people that are involved with golf carts.
Yeah. So Jenny and Dan here are your council members. I would start there. Jennifer is in charge of the ordinance review committee, and so between all five of them, but especially those two and Jennifer, I think it would be a good starting spot for
you. People?
Yeah, so Matt Hayden there is the park superintendent.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Great.
I'd love to
see you. Thank you. Glad to hear
that. We're going to have to construct some way of getting across.
Yeah, well, I think what he's saying is at least in the temporary of allowing maybe on the Blue River Trail to get from Morse's Park over there, so at least there's another way on the east side. Anything else from the public? Okay, hearing none, we will call the meeting adjourned.